Hey, how you doing, my man?
Good afternoon in the Great White North. How are you?
Oh, hey, I am great. I am great. It was the Great White North yesterday with 290 accidents, so that's always a fun time when it gets a little slick outside in Edmonton. And there's been a few train wrecks at times in the NFL season, but now we're into the postseason. So I want to start on try to find a positive, Lee, because I want to preface this by saying I am a Miami fan, but I'm a realistic one. Can you tell me any reason why you think the Dolphins can go into Pittsburgh and upset the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I can give you lots of reasons why it won't happen. I mean, we'll start with Ben, then we'll go to Le'Veon, then we'll go to Antonio, then we'll go to cold weather, then we'll go to Heinz Field, then we'll go to 16 degrees. I guess I just answered your question. If Ryan Tannehill were healthy, it'd be intriguing to see if he could pick apart the Steelers secondary, because I think that's the weak link. But with Matt Moore as a backup, granted he's a veteran, I don't think he's going to be intimidated playing at Heinz Field. He's probably played there in the past when he was in Carolina. But at the end of the day, he's managing games. He's not winning games. We'll say this, though. When he had to replace Tannehill because of the knee injury, he's thrown 8 touchdown passes, only 3 picks, and a quarterback rating of 105 at the tail end of the season as they kind of fought their way through the traffic and wound up getting a wild card spot. But this is Pittsburgh. That is cold weather. That's a Steeler team that rested all of its starters last week. And this is Miami going to Heinz Field. I just think it's going to be unbelievably hard.
So if there is an upset, who do you see with the best chance to upset?
Well, each of the other games has got issues. Oakland's playing its backup quarterback. Actually, it's playing its third-string backup quarterback because of the injuries to Derek Carr and Matt McGloin. I just don't see any way that Connor Cook, the rookie from Michigan State, who's a pretty good football player in college, is going to be able to hold up against Jadeveon Clowney, Houston's pass rush, etc. And I just don't know that Oakland's going to be able to run the football to keep the pressure off the kid quarterback. So I don't think there's an upset in the making there. Detroit, Seattle, at one point this would have been a really fascinating game, but the Matthew Stafford index finger injury to his throwing hand has taken away a lot of the firepower that Detroit has. He had 21 touchdowns and 5 picks through the first 13 games of the season. His last 3 starts since the injury, playing with the glove, 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. They're just scuffling to score, and his accuracy has gone away. The guy that was completing, I think it was 62% of his passes, is now completing 53% of the passes since the finger injury. That would have been a fascinating game to me because of Stafford's ability to bring a big gun to the party. However, Seattle's got lots of problems. They can't protect Russell Wilson. He's taken a fierce beating, 41 sacks. They can't run the ball. It's just not the same offense that Seattle's had in the past, but they do have the Legion of Boom defense, Richard Sherman, his mouth, and his toughness. So I just don't see an upset there. The Giants-Green Bay would really be intriguing, except it's going to be 3 degrees at Green Bay at kickoff on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon, early evening. Aaron Rodgers, Jason, is blazing hot. 40 touchdowns this season. Nobody's paid any attention to what he's done. All the national writers have been writing, and rightfully so, about Dak Prescott and some other guys. 40 touchdowns this season. And, you know, at one point they looked like they were face down in the gutter, and Aaron Rodgers dragged them out of the gutter. They've ripped off 6 wins in a row. And get this stat. In those 6 victories, Aaron Rodgers, 16 touchdowns, no picks. And this is with a team that doesn't run the football very efficiently, so he's carrying this thing on his shoulders, and he's been pretty good. I would have said maybe the Giants would give him a good run for the money, but it's going to be brutally cold. Cold and wind affects the passing game. Rodgers knows how to play with it at Lambeau Field. I don't think Eli Manning gets that kind of wind and cold at the Meadowlands. And the Giants don't have much of a run game right now, so I don't think there's any upsets coming here whatsoever, you know, for a wide variety of reasons.
Lee Haxall Hamilton joins us, breaking down NFL Wild Card Weekend. The one team, you know, Detroit's just banged up by injuries. They limped into the playoffs because Washington gassed it in the final week, couldn't get a victory. And they'll go into Seattle. I agree with you. It'll be tough, even though Seahawks, to me, aren't a team I look at as a Super Bowl favorite by any stretch. But the Oakland-Houston game, you know, if David Carr is healthy, well, Oakland might not even be in this game. They'd probably be sitting in the number 2 seed, and KC would likely be in this game. But What can you tell us about Oakland's number three quarterback? Could this guy come out and surprise us?
No, he's a rookie. He's played three quarters of football. I mean, he has been inactive every game except the last 2 weeks after Carr went down with the injury. It's kind of sad because they've been building this thing and fixing this thing and really rallying this thing in Oakland. And it was a bad situation when Reggie McKenzie went in there as general manager. They brought Jack Del Rio in. They had to scrape away a lot of bad attitudes, a lot of bad players, a lot of bad contracts that Al Davis had left behind after he passed away. And Reggie's done a good job, and they've drafted really well. I think last I checked about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, they had 11 other draft picks over the last three seasons are all starting, and very impressive. And they've hit the jackpot on a whole bunch of veteran free agents. I mean, their offensive line are a bunch of maulers. But they got a problem there. Their left tackle, their Pro Bowl guy, Donald Penn, who's as tough as cement, he's got a knee injury. He's not practiced 3 days in a row. I don't know whether he's going to be active and even attempting to play. But if you don't have the left tackle and you got the kid quarterback, boy, that's a tough combo. And it's too bad because 3 weeks ago today, if you and I were talking after you shoveled your driveway out, if you and I were talking, we would have been talking about Derek Carr, Raiders, challenging New England, maybe in the AFC Championship game. By the way, home field advantage through the whole thing until they got to the AFC Finals. And now instead, they're a road team, a wild card team, without quarterbacks one and two. It's tough what has befallen them.
No, it's brutal, really. Carr, to me, would have been the MVP had he not got injured, for sure. Now, the other big story, of course, we have a few Charger fans here at the station and many in the city. What about the Chargers' location next year, Lee? What can you tell us?
Well, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I've been covering the coaching firings and the coaching interviews on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. We've been covering the stadium issue and the January 15th deadline that is coming up that the owner has to make a decision. Does he take the clause to go to L.A. or does he stay here? Now, on top of all that, there's an emergency meeting called by the NFL next Wednesday in New York. They're bringing the finance committee and the stadium committee in to meet with Dean Spanos, to meet with Raider owner Mark Davis, and to try to sort through what they're going to do with this January 15th deadline facing the Chargers. It cannot be an extension. Spanos must say, I'm going to L.A. or I'm going to bypass, which if he bypasses, that opens the L.A. market to the Raiders. They would have a one-year window to try and go ahead and get something done. But the Chargers season has ended miserably. They fired the head coach. They have bottomed out in terms of fan support. The last two home games were dreadful. 85% of the people in the stadium 2 weeks ago with a Raider game here were in silver and black. In the final home game, about 60% were wearing Kansas City Chief red, and the rest of them were blue, empty seats. The fans in this town, I've been here 30 years. I was the voice of the team for 13 years. The fans in this town have absolutely turned their back on the owner because of the way he's conducted business, and obviously the product has been terrible on the field, 4-12 and 5-11, although that's a byproduct of terrible, terrible injuries. So, you know, as I sit here on a Friday afternoon as you go back out to shovel more snow, I can't tell you what the owner's going to do because I don't think anybody knows except him. I will tell you, though, I know the man. I don't think he's got the brass to yank this thing out of here. It'd be horrible for his family if he did. Secondly, L.A. does not want him. They would be the fourth football team in L.A. in terms of interest. Fourth. They'd be behind the Rams, who had a rotten season, behind USC, which owns the town, and behind UCLA, which is still a popular collegiate football product. So why would you go up there? So, but he's got a problem because I think next Wednesday, I've been told from NFL people, there's going to be a confrontation that the NFL last February, Jason, gave the Chargers a $300 million commitment to work with San Diego, come up with a deal, and stay. And the league would put $300 million into the bin to try to build the stadium.
Wow.
Now I've been told that one of the owners, and I don't know whether it's Daniel Snyder or whether it's Jerry Jones or whether it's Robert Kraft, I've been told by an NFL source that they're going to approach the owner of the Chargers face-to-face and said, we made a commitment to you to help you. Why did you not negotiate for 1 second with the city of San Diego in the year 2016 after what we gave you as a promise last February? So this is going to get nasty. And, of course, you know, the sidebar story to that whole thing, Jason, is the Raiders Mark Davis wants to go to Vegas. There's some issues there with the guy that's going to help fund this, Sheldon Adelson. It's part of the deal. He wants to buy minority control of the team. Mark Davis says no. Adelson keeps dropping hints. I just may pull my money out of here. Good luck to you if you think you can replace my $750 million. So we don't know where that's going to wind up either. And, you know, this has been churning on and on and on. And what I get from a lot of people who cover the NFL, who cover the other owners in the other cities, they're just bloody tired of it. They just want to run their football teams in their cities and be in the playoffs. Well, you don't want to have to put out these fires in San Diego and Oakland. And the fires are still going because they've not been able to come up with financing and get a stadium built.
Now, going back to the San Diego situation, so the league says, here's $300 million, negotiate and get it done. Is he just that arrogant that he feels like, well, San Diego should get down on their knees and lick my feet because they should be so lucky to have me? What's the problem?
I think the correct term is leverage. He's got no leverage. Or maybe the correct term is delusional. You know, this was a really good franchise. When I was the voice of the Chargers, we went to the Super Bowl with Bobby Ross. The owner allowed him to be fired. They rebuilt the team. They went to the AFC Championship game with Marty Schottenheimer. You remember this, 14-2. The owner allowed him to be fired. Now they've made mistake upon mistake. Attendance has plunged. Revenues have plunged. In San Diego, where the sun shines a hell of a lot, Jason, they're 31st in the league in attendance. They averaged over 66,000 last year. The final attendance figures just came out about an hour ago. Their attendance plunged to 57,000, second lowest since 2000 when they built they expanded the stadium here. So they've really got this thing upside down, and I just don't think they know what they're doing. You may be rich, it does not guarantee you're going to be a very good football owner. And I think, unfortunately, Dean Spanos has a terrible credibility problem in his own community. But a lot of this, he's created himself by how he handled negotiations, what he demanded. As you would say, leverage, arrogance, whatever adjective, adverb you want to use. It's not a good situation. Up in Oakland, that's an incompetent situation because they don't have money. That's a very poor franchise in an old, decaying city. And even though it's a brand, and there are a lot of Raider fans out there, you know, they only average 35,000 fans per game. They have to tarp off the upper portion of the stadium. So that's not a financially healthy franchise, and that's not a financially healthy city, which is why Vegas makes a lot of sense. Here's the bottom line. I know I've answered in the long term. What I think is happening at the league level is I think they're going to allow Mark Davis to go to Las Vegas. They don't want Mark Davis in L.A. And then I think they're going to redivert some NFL money back to San Diego, some additional bridge loans, if you will, and try to get the Chargers to stay here. They would keep the Rams as a solo franchise in L.A., but within 4 years, I think they're going to make that an expansion market, and they'll add a second team there, an expansion team. And why would they do that? Two words, revenue streams. That's what the NFL is all about, creating revenue streams. And you'd create pretty good revenue streams with an expansion franchise and all the fees that they would have to pay to go into that market. That's what I think. I think that's where we're going with this whole thing. And this sucker has dragged on. We are so fatigued by stadium talk covering it. If you were writing about it, you'd go crazy. Talk show radio is worn out talking about it. The fans, I think, are tired of hearing. That's what I think is the big picture. I think this is how this road goes going forward.
Well, Lee, you know what? I can relate to that because Oilers fans were sick and tired of talking about a losing organization for a decade. And it seems that this conversation in San Diego has gone round and round in circles. And I don't think there's any lottery they can win to get a Connor McDavid to come in to salvage their franchise. So we'll see.
No, but you can. I will say this, Jason. You can flip NFL teams and you can fix them.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
If you draft well, and they're drafting at the top of the board, how did Oakland get really good? Well, they went 56 and 136 over 11 years. And I know you've had bad one-loss records in Edmonton for a chunk of time. You think about that, 56 and 136 over 11 years. But what happened is they kept getting high picks, and they really hit the jackpot on a lot of picks, and then they got the right free agents. And, you know, this is intangible to all this, a little bit of luck. You know, the Raiders are playing tomorrow. They've had only two major injuries all year. San Diego finished the season last Sunday with 20 guys on IR. Just catastrophic injuries to virtually all their skilled people and some of their skilled people on defense in addition to virtually everybody on offense. So you can fix and you can flip a franchise. You need a little luck along the way, but We won't get a Connor McDavid in the NFL, but you can get a lot of good players, and if you get lucky, you keep them healthy, get them on the field, and hopefully you hit the jackpot and turn the team like the Raiders have.
Lee, as always, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a fantastic weekend.
My pleasure. Give me a holler next week. We'll start talking about the second round of the playoffs. Thanks, Jason. Be well.